Today's sermon is going to be an unusual Mother's Day sermon, but we're on this series, and so we're going forth in the series. The series of conquering your giant. Last week we got started with conquering the giant of fear. Today we're going to talk about conquering the giants of finance. I doubt anybody's going to shout today. But maybe 6 months from now, you might shout. Maybe a year from now, you might shout. Wow. Maybe 5 years from now, you might shout. When you get out of debt, look at somebody and say, that's shouting time. Here's the scripture today. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 25. Show me the right path, O Lord, and point out the road for me to follow. And lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saved me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Conquering your giants. I've done kind of a personal survey with people over the last few weeks, and asked them, you know, what's your giant? And I've had all kinds of giants. People say, well, fear and the giant of temptation, the giant of illness, all kinds of giants. But the number one giant, the giant of failure, but the number one giant that I've heard people talk about, almost 2-1, is the giant of finance. Everybody deal with this giant. How do you handle the giant of finance? Nothing is more scary. Nothing keeps us awake at night more. Nothing is more unsettling. Nothing robs us of our joy like the giant of finance. Not having enough. The people here, and this is where it gets real. This is where it gets very real for us. This is where it really gets political. People don't like me to talk about politics, but here's the fact of the matter is, Elizabeth Warren is right. We need a living wage. Somebody else say amen. People, we live in a time now when people don't have jobs and they're working 2 or 3 jobs at almost minimum wage, or at $10 an hour or $12 an hour or whatever it is. You can't raise a family in Hackensack, New Jersey on $12 an hour. It's almost impossible. You got to work 2 or 3 jobs. We're dealing with this giant. And it seems like nobody cares about us dealing with a giant because they're rich and they can care less. You know, the Bible talks about how to deal with your giant. The giant of finances. We live in a time right now when there are people, according to an article that I read, that there are people who got over $17,000 worth of debt in credit cards. There are students who go to college right now, and they graduate from college, and they've got $100,000 worth of debt. There's something wrong with that in America, that you want to go to school, and you graduate from college, and you got $50,000 and $60,000 and $100,000 worth of debt. And then when you get out of college, you got to find a minimum wage job. It would be one thing if you went to college and you got out of college and you were able to get a job for $100,000, you go to college and you can't find a job. And now it's so low down, even when you're in college, they want you to pay on the loan while you're in college. What kind of sense does that make? Back in the day, when I was growing up, thank God for EOF. Live in a time of debt. More people, you know, we think that people get divorced because of infidelity. Some do, but more people get divorced because of debt. They argue about money. She wants a new dress, and he wants a new camera. You don't need either one of them because you can't afford it. You got to put it on a credit card. I know I got these financial advisors over here. I know. Tell me how I'm doing later on. Don't stand up and say, you're wrong, Rev. Tell me later. You know, there's a lot of people unemployed right now. Millions of people. And you talk about Baltimore. No, there are some thugs out there, but not all of those kids are thugs. They would be all right if they had a job. I agree with the president on a whole lot of things, but there's some things I don't. You know, it's nice to have that program, his brother's keeper, but I'd rather that you have some jobs for the kids. And I'm not sure, and I'll give him a pass on this trade thing, but I do know that NAFTA, when Clinton was president and sent all the jobs to Mexico and all around the country, it hurt black people and poor people and white people in America. And I'd say you need to think about this thing. Send these corporations around the world where they can get cheap labor, and then we can't find a job. You're preaching, Jack. And here we are, the poorest of the poor, sitting around not voting. You better get your behind up and go to the polls and vote for somebody that'll fight for your interests. You're too poor to stay home on election day. In fact, you know, you ask the average person, well, are you satisfied with your finances? Anybody satisfied with your finances? No. Most of us are struggling, trying to make ends meet. And if we miss one paycheck or two paychecks, and God help you if you miss three. This giant of finances. It's not like it used to be. Maybe 10 years ago, you know, you could just sort of skate by. You know, she was working, you were working, everything is all right. You know, the kids out of college, you're on easy street. But there ain't no easy street no more. You better know what's going on with your finances. Now, I want to know, is there anybody... You know, if somebody sleep next to you, wake them up, say, you need to be awake today. Pastor might say something. He don't say something all the time, but today he just might say something that'll help you get out of debt and give you some financial peace. Anybody in here could use a little financial peace that you go to bed at night and you don't have to take no pill. You don't have to have a little sip to go to sleep. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody in here? That could handle a little financial peace. The Bible says in Psalm 25, show me the path, O Lord. Point me on the road to follow, O Lord. And lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saved me all day long. And how many of you don't just need to be saved in your soul? You need to be saved in your finances. You need to have a relationship, not in, you need God, we, not you, we need God to teach us not just in our, how we walk, but also how we spend. First of all, you know, let me tell you something. God never promised us that we're going to be rich. Somebody, you know, you might not, you know, that's old prosperity preachers. Oh, yeah, you know, just if you just do this, you just bring me your money, you're going to be rich. You're going to have two cars. You're going to have a house in Florida and in Jamaica and in New York City. God ain't never promised that stuff. We're operating out of our greed. He did promise that you would have enough. He did promise that he could take away the stress if you trust him and believe that he'll make a way. How many of you know if he said he'll make a way, he'll make a way. You might not have a whole lot in the bank, but the Lord will make a way. There ain't no get rich schemes in God. A million, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a week, $1,000 a week for life, cash for life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And if we ever hit the cash for life, we'd probably have a heart attack and die. I know somebody out there saying, listen, I risk it, Rev. I risk it. I can hear you talking. But God wants to help us to take the stress out of our finances. And if you listen to me for a little while, I think I can help. But you have to be willing to do it God's way. How many of you know God's way is better than your way? I don't care how wise you are, how smart you are, how many PhDs you got. You ain't smart as God. You might be smarter than me, but you're not smarter than God. God wants to de-stressify our lives with our finances. Now, the first thing, this ain't no rocket scientist stuff, but the first thing you got to do to get your finances in order, first thing you got to do, you got to keep good records. You know, I can't tell you, you know, listen, I'm preaching to you, but I'm not telling you I do it all. But I'm telling you, I ought to, and so should you. I bet you, if I was a betting man, if I went out and asked you, and you went to the bank and you said, well, I need a loan. And the man and the woman said, well, how much you need? I bet you most of us don't have a clue how much we need. We don't know how bad debt we don't know how much we owe on the credit card. We don't know how much we owe on the mortgage. We don't know how much we owe on the car. We just get a number out of the sky. I think I need $5,000. And $5,000 ain't really going to help you. You got to sit down every once in a while and do an accounting and figure out what it is you need. God says, listen. I'll give you enough. Look at somebody and say, do you know how much enough is? Is enough 10,000? Is it 15,000? Is it 20,000? Is it 2,000? And when the Lord says, I'll give you enough, and I argue to you today that most of us don't have a clue how much enough is. And the only way you and I are going to find out how much enough is, you got to sit down and count the cost and ask the question, how much do I owe, and how much do I make, and how much do I need? Do I have a witness in the house? Some people say, well, you know, like, I don't like to do that, Rev. I just, it's bad enough being in it. I just don't want to know how bad I'm in it. Let me have a drink right now. Then we go out and spend money on a drink that we can't afford to just alleviate the... You preaching, Jackson. Go ahead, boy. This ain't the traditional Mother's Day. She's a virtuous woman. Now, this ain't the traditional one, but if you listen to me, 6 months from now, a year from now, you come in here shouting. You might not have a new pair of shoes, but you'll be strutting. You gotta look at how much you owe. My financial plan is in here. He don't think that I don't do it, but I do know it. You gotta sit down and count the costs. Proverbs 27, 23, 24 up there in the booth. If you can put that up there for me. Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24. Then later on, Proverbs 27, 24 says, riches can disappear fast. So watch your business interests closely. Keep the state of your flocks and herds. You know, back in the day, you know, we didn't have stocks. They didn't have stocks and bonds back 1,000 years ago. They measured their wealth by the animals that you had, the sheep and the goats and whatever. And so you needed to take an inventory of the stock that you had. And today you need to sit down every now and then and take an inventory of how many stocks and how many bonds and how much money you have in the bank and how much money you don't have. You need to know what you got. Do I have a witness in here? Somebody else. Hey, go on and say amen. Come on. You know what you got. And then Proverbs 23:23 says, get the facts at any price. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and discipline and understand. You got to get the facts. Got to know how bad you are, how good you are. And you don't correct bad by adding to bad. Do I have a witness? Here you are. You're making $50,000 and you're $100,000 in debt, and you keep adding. You ain't never going to get out of debt. Oh, you're preaching, Jackson. First thing is, you got to know, you have to have an accounting principle. You got to stand up and face it like a man or a woman. Maybe you were so in love with him, you were so in love with her, you didn't do a prenup. He was so fine, but the Joker was in debt. She was so fine, but she was in love with shoes. And she loved shoes more than she loved you. And here you are, you married her, and now the first day. You know I love you, honey. The first month, you go broke. In Jesus' name. I got to finish this. All right, second thing. So you got that? The first one, you need to write this down. If you're not taking notes, find something, take some notes. You know, the first thing is you got to get some good records, the principle of accounting. The second one is you have to plan your spending. You got to budget. I know, take that, man. I ain't got time to budget. Do you have time to worry? Do you have time to be all stressed out? Do you have time not to get any sleep? Do you have time to have a stroke, a heart attack, and all that other stuff because of your financial pressure? Take time to budget. Now you know how bad it is. You got to figure out. You know, some people say, well, you know, money just goes so quickly. It's so hard to get, but it goes so quick. You got to slow it down. You got to budget. Proverbs 21 and 5 says, plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. Proverbs 21:5. Some of y'all say, Pastor's not biblical enough. This is in the Bible right here. The Bible talks more about money than it does salvation. It says, Proverbs 21 and 20, Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. It's in the Bible. Depends on your translation.
I know some of y'all sitting out there, I ain't never seen that in the Bible.
Put it up there. Proverbs 21:20. Put it up there. Proverbs 21:20. Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. In the house of the wise are stores of choice of food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. How you like my translation now? You don't might not call him stupid, but fool is just as bad. So, two things. Principles so far, we're talking about two principles. Number one is what? You got to have the principle of accounting. You got to keep records. Number two, what? You got to plan your spending, the principle of budgeting. Number three. How many of y'all ready for number three? Here we go. Save for the future. Somebody says save for a rainy day. It's raining right now. Save for the future. The principle of saving. You know, some people say, hey, we don't need to be saving. Just trust God. The Lord will make a way. Well, he gave you a brain, too. Let's say Japanese save 25% of everything they make. Europeans save about 17%. And you know how much Americans save? 5%. You know how much black Americans save? I don't know. I'm just saying that. I didn't read that nowhere. That just sounded right talking to this bunch in here. Now we're going to ride well. We're going to dress well. Lord knows we're going to eat well. We're going to have the big picture in picture in the projects. Flat screen. Then we're going to say, well, I might not have nothing else, but I'm sure going to have what I want to wear. 15 pair of sneakers. And so many heels, we've lost count. Principle of saving. Listen, Proverbs 21:20. Here it is, biblical. Let's go right to it, because you don't believe me. Put that up there, Proverbs 21:20. The wise man saves for the future. Let me ask you a question. How you doing with your saving? How many of you got a 401k? How many of you got a retirement plan? How many of you got something you're saving for a rainy day? How many of you got something? I know it's hard. How many of you got to figure out how to save? I know it's tough, but for God's sake, if you can't put $100 a month away, put $25 away. Stop going down there to Starbucks and put $50 away. Get you one of those Mickey-otic caramel that costs $6 with all that sugar in it, and you ain't got nary dime in retirement, you need to rethink what you're doing. I have a witness in the house. The wise man saves for the future. The wise woman saves for the future. Proverbs 13:11. Let's go right there. Proverbs 13:11. Put that up there. I should have told you this. But get ready for the next service. I'm sorry I worked you so hard up there in the booth. Proverbs 13:11. Money that comes easily disappears quickly. But money that is gathered little by little will grow. How many of you know the investment principle? If you start out, and listen, don't wait till you get 60 and then all of a sudden try to build a retirement account. You ain't got that long. Start out when you're 25. Start out when you're 30. Give God 10%. Give yourself 10%. In fact, you might need to give yourself 50%. Oh, no, that's unrealistic. 15%. Something like that.
money disappears quickly. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little make it grow. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? No, you didn't. Little by little. Told you ain't gonna be shouting today. But if you listen, 6 months from now, you gonna come in here? I wanna give you a resource, Buster Sarez. Debt free. I told you, I read it a few years ago, and I applied it, and I got out of debt. Debt free. Still old mortgage, but that's all right. It's all right. Ain't got no credit cards. I mean, I was up to here. Okay, here we go. How many of you got the first three? What did you help me out? First one is what? Keep good records. Second one is plan your spending. And the third one is save for your future. Here's number four. Return 10% to God. Ah, Rabbi, you were doing fine. You're hitting it, boy. But listen, I didn't make this up. This is God who says this. This is not Jackson who says this. God says, bring to my storehouse a full tenth of what you earn. Put Malachi 3:10 up there. Put it up there. Malachi 3:10. Because they think I'm making this up. They don't want to hear it. We decide we're going to live the way that we want to live, and we're going to spend the way we want to spend. How many of you know that God is smarter than you? If God said this way, and I don't know why God said to give 10%. I don't know why he didn't say give 15. I don't know why he didn't say give 20 or 30. He said give 10. And if God says give 10, guess what? You and I ought to give 10. We want God's blessing. It's like a kid who's hard-headed and always wants you to do something but don't want to live by your rules. You need to get yourself out and get your own place if you don't want to live by the rules. But where are you going from God? God says, did you put that up there, Malachi 3:10? We're going to wait for that one. Malachi 3:10 says, bring to my storehouse the full tenth of what you earn and test me. This is the only place in the Bible it says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I ain't make it up. And then the other thing God says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'm working y'all in the booth today. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On every Lord's day, you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Every week. On a regular basis. And then the other thing is the first fruit. You give God 10% first. Don't come dragging in after you ain't got nothing left. Give God. He's number one. He is preeminent. He deserves priority in your life. Give it to God first. You want God's blessing, do what God says. I didn't expect too many shouts on that either. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all of your income. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns to overflow. Let me tell you one thing that I've learned along the way. You get nothing else out of this whole sermon today. You get nothing else. I want you to get this. Your financial peace is not determined by how much you make. It's determined by how much you spend. How am I doing, financial planners? Because I have found out the more you make, the more you spend. And
of millionaires
that commit suicide. And there are people in the projects that sleep just fine. Because they refuse to overspend. And, you know, they ain't trying to keep up with the Joneses. Because if you get to know the Joneses, they're broke. They've overspent, they're in debt, they're driving, but they're miserable. How many know I'm talking right here? They're riding in a car that don't belong to them. It's the banks. Here it is. Your financial peace is not determined by how much you make. It's how much you spend. Who would you rather be? Who would you rather be? A person that makes $1 million a year, but they spend 1.1. Or a person that makes $50,000 and they spend $49,000. Which one would you rather be? Come on, come on. How many of you would rather be that one that makes $1 million and you spend $1.1 million? You know you would. Don't lie, don't perpetrate. You know you'd rather make that $1 million and be $1.1 million in debt, but you won't have any peace. But if you made the $50,000 and you spent $49,000, We need to have some goals in our life. We need to have a goal. We need to have some goals. How much we earn, how much we owe, and then how much we give. And if your outlay is greater than your income, and, you know, when we decide to check it, you know, we always come up with all these excuses. Well, you know, I can't give to God because I got to help Bobo. You know, my kid's in college. My dog got sick. Whatever it is, we come up with all kind of excuses. But I'd like to know if there's anybody in here that will try God and will test God, and for the next 6 months that you will do what God says to do. And God says, test me and see, will you be willing to give God 10% for 6 months and see what God does? I can't afford the tithe. You can't afford not the tithe. That's great. Those preachers are. Listen, my salary ain't going up one dime, whether you tithe or not. Got no plane. Oh, that's not true. I do have a plane. Minister Reverend Stokes, Belinda Stokes, she used to work out there at Falcon Jet. She bought me a toy plane up in my office. She says, you know, everybody got a plane now. I just wanted to make sure you had one. So I got one of them Falcon jets up on my bookshelf upstairs. That minister, Belinda Parrott Stokes, gave me a year ago. But if you want peace, here, if you want peace, if you want financial peace, it comes with trusting God. You want financial peace, you got to know that the Lord will provide. But you got to do some sensible stuff. How we go? How we doing now? The first one, what did I say the first one was? Help me out. Time. Second one is what? The third one is? And the fourth one is? Here's the fifth one and the last one. Enjoy what I have. Enjoy what I have. Guys, how many of you know you don't always need a new suit? A new tie can turn the thing around. Yeah, people think,
Kyle, you sure look nice today.
And then he would go, this old thing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We so busy trying to get what the Joneses have, we cannot appreciate what we have. You need to learn how to enjoy what you have. And when you look back over your life, you are so much more blessed than you were when you were a boy 50 years ago. The Lord has kept you and provided food for you and a roof over your head, and you can go to bed and sleep without sleeping pills. Let's go to the scripture. Ecclesiastes 6:9. And then Hebrews 13:5. Ecclesiastes 6:9. It is better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting something else. Better what the eye sees than the roving of an appetite. This too is meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Gotta be happy with what you got. I ain't got nothing. You got more than you think. If you got peace, you're sleeping in a bed it ain't paid for. How many of you seen those, you know, those fancy beds? I mean, what's the mattresses now? They got all kinds of mattresses. Sleep Number, Tempur-Pedic, whatever. They ain't cost so much it drives you crazy. It's better to be satisfied. You know, sometimes, if you want to get out of debt, sometimes, how do I do this? How do I say this? You gotta subtract from your desires. Sometimes the problem is you desire too much. Am I making sense? Sometimes you gotta distract, you gotta detract, you gotta subtract, that's what I'm trying to say, from your desires. And get down a few pounds and get back in that dress. I mean, I know what I'm talking about, because sometimes I come in and I can't button this jacket. I don't walk right. It's not because I forgot the button. I know I can't button it. But I've been going to the gym now. This ain't a new suit, but I can button this rascal one more time. You gotta subtract from your desires. Hebrews 13:5. You got that one for me? Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake. How many of you got stuff in your closet you forgot you had? And you always worried about what you're going to buy new. Oh, you know, so-and-so, you know. And you got gowns up there. When they come to these special days, you got gowns. Hopefully you can still get in. Tuxedos. Scripture of this whole series. What's the scripture of this whole? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wrap it up. It's late. Sunday school time. Here it is. Here it is. Enjoy what you have. What's the five principles we talked about? Come on. The five principles. The first one is? Second. Three. Four. And five. You got it. Amen. Go do it.